This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're done until training camp. Next time we hear from coaches, players, see videos from practices, start talking about preseason games, it'll be training camp end of next month. Joining us right now, as he does every Monday and Friday, The Athletic's Ben Standing, at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. Ben's got a podcast called Last Man Standing. And, of course, he writes for The Athletic. So, let's just start with a couple of players, because some of these players spoke and I have not spoken to you since. We learned something about a few players over the 3-day period last week. Let's just start with Lattimore. What did we learn from hearing from him and talking to others about his health and his prospect for being a much better player in 25 than he was at the end of 24?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was, you know, fairly candid about his year last year following the trade. That, look, he said, I arrived injured. That's not an excuse. If I'm on the field, I gotta go. I gotta make the plays. I didn't do enough of that. He said, watching the tape, he saw a guy that looked timid. He could tell by the way he was, like, you know, kind of moving out there that he looked timid. And obviously, you know, his play, particularly in those playoff games against Tampa Bay and the Eagles, he was not very good. You know, I mean, going up against Mike Evans and A.J. Brown is not easy, but that's why you make a trade for a guy like that. But he said since the season ended, you know, he got himself some good rest. He said he focused on, like, explosive, like, strength work as opposed to heavy weights in the gym. And he said he feels, you know, pretty good coming into camp. And I thought, you know, again, all the preface everything we see in OTAs and mini camp with, well, actually he wasn't at OTA, but we preface everything with, you know, it's not no pads, it's not the real thing, but, like, he looked pretty competitive out there, all things being equal. And, you know, look, being healthy in June is not the same thing as being healthy week one or November or whatever, but at least it's a good start, because, you know, last year he came in hurt, missed, you know, he missed 6 of the 8 regular season games. And then, you know, he played in the playoffs, but, you know, wasn't sharp. So if they can have him, a healthy version of him, maybe he's never going to be the Pro Bowl player he once was. You know, he last one, I believe, was in 2021. He was selected 4 times. But, you know, if he's a viable option on the perimeter in a division that has, you know, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, and others, you know, that goes a long, long way for this group. So I take it as a positive sign. One of my big questions this offseason was, you know, what's he going to look like? Because if he's not ready to go for minicamp, then, boy, that's going to make training camp and beyond much more concerning. So good start on that front. And, you know, I feel like he came in with, you know, ready to go and with a good attitude. So hopefully that all carries over.
Did he say anything about missing all the OTA days or not?
I don't believe so. I mean, you know, that's been kind of his MO in the past. And, you know, he obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, but, you know, he clearly had been working out on his own and doing his own thing. So, you know, it is, we all, I think, understand why the coaches would prefer the players all be there.
Right.
But, you know, he showed up for the mini camp, and, you know, I thought he looked pretty good. Like I said, if he had missed all that time coming off the year he had here and then wasn't ready to go, that would have been major red flag for me. But he showed up ready to go, put in the work, seemed to be, sharp. There was one play in particular just to note. It was, unfortunately, it was right before Noah Brown got hurt the other day, but it was a play where Noah Brown was lined up against Lattimore. Brown had a move where he cut inside, then spun back towards the sideline, and he had a couple steps on Lattimore on the play, and the ball was right there, and it was in Brown's hand, and Lattimore still came up, made the play. It was an aggressive attack on the ball, knocked the ball to the ground, and again, it's only, it is what it is, but that's the type of play you want to see from a guy who you're projecting to be your top corner and be one of the better ones in the league. And, again, if we're going to tout anything that's happening in these camps, to me, that was a play to mention because it, he didn't just sort of give up on the play. He went for it and made, turned it into an incompletion when it could have been just another, play against him.
Do we know anything about Noah Brown's injury?
We do not. They obviously typically keep things tight, and the fact that, like you said, we're not going to talk to them now until end of training camp. So I guess I would look at it like this. If, when Dan Quinn talked on Thursday, he said that Noah Brown had not yet had an MRI for the injury. Okay. So presumably he's had the MRI since. I would imagine if the MRI was like the worst case scenario,
right,
we probably would have heard something by now. That'd be my guess. So,
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it's, whatever it may be. Maybe it is something. Maybe it's something that's not a big enough of a deal to send out red flags or to say, oh boy, we got a problem here. So I'm taking it as a positive at the moment. What that positive means ultimately in terms of training camp, hard to say, but hopefully, that's the proper read on this. If he's out for significant time, if not the year, then you would think they would look to bring some help in at some point. But yeah, the fact that we've heard nothing is actually positive, I would say, at this point.
I agree. You and I have talked a lot about, sometimes fans just forget about last year's draft class and they focus on the most recent draft class. But most draft choices don't have breakout years in their rookie year. They have breakout years in year two or year three if they end up breaking out at all. So as we look at everybody not named Jaden Daniels and Mike Sanristil and maybe Brandon Coleman, so we're talking about a list that includes Newton and Sinnott and McCaffrey and McGee and John Baptiste, did you get a sense at any point in this offseason that they're really confident that one of those players, or maybe more than one, is going to be in position to make major contributions in year two?
I feel like, I feel like Jordan McGee would be, I guess, my answer there. Defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. talked about the fact that they had some, packages for him to be on the field, to be on the field. And unfortunately, McGee just got injuries starting in training camp and then during the season as well, and just kind of limited his play. And then by the time he was even sort of back active, the team was sort of well on its way to, having the year that it did. And maybe just wasn't enough time to integrate the rookie like that. But, he was the guy that they were, really high on last year, drafting him in the fifth round. He's got speed at that linebacker position, which they could use. Look, Bobby Wagner is obviously going to the Hall of Fame, and he does a lot for this team in terms of leadership and instincts and recognizing plays that are coming. But, he's not particularly sharp at this point, at least relative to his career highs as a speed option, as a cover guy. And I'm not saying that means McGee would get in there and take some reps from him. Maybe it just means they use more three linebackers in some sets than they did last year. But I think the way they were talking about him, I feel like they see an opportunity for more out of him. Again, maybe that's ultimately, giving them more 4-3 looks, but I think that he would be one from the group that I would point to. And that's not to say that McCaffrey or Sinnott in particular haven't made some strides. I feel like they did. It's just that the opportunity for them, assuming that there's no injuries at receiver, just could be a little bit harder to come by. Whereas with McGee, if he's the third linebacker, then I think there's a chance for him to get out there.
Could you tell anything in watching, you know, like as an example, who they were playing with, whether it was frontline starters or backups or even further down the list, where Chris Rodriguez gets penciled in heading into training camp?
No, not a ton in that regard. You know, Brian Robinson, you know, I think checked off the needed boxes for this time of the year in terms of, you know, showing up in camp. Again, looking athletically sharp, he seems to be on his P's and Q's out there on the field. You know, and obviously based on what we have seen, he would be the lead back, all things being equal. You know, Austin Ekeler, Jeremy McNichols filling in as the sort of complementary backs. To a degree, and then you have, you know, Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, the rookie, who I think did have a pretty good summer, or not summer, but a pretty good, you know, off-season program for them as well. So Rodriguez slimmed down a bit. You know, he runs hard. We all get that. It's just, you know, I don't know where he's fitting in terms of, like, the depth. Even if they keep four running backs, which would be essentially more than they kept last year for the most part, I would think right now it's Kroski Merritt getting that spot as opposed to Rodriguez. So, you know, look, we've talked about before, is there a world where Brian Robinson possibly gets squeezed out, either in terms of playing time or maybe even like if they decide to make a bold move and trade him? That's just purely just a wondering on my part. You know, in that case, then maybe Rodriguez slips on the roster because they want somebody with that size to give you the short yardage capability, if nothing else. But I think it's going to take something like that at this stage for Rodriguez to have any kind of role. I've liked him. I think you've probably liked him. But, you know, it's just only so many spots. And I do think he at least came in, I think, with better form, better conditioning than he did a year ago. I'm sure that stood out to the coaches. But, you know, it's just going to be hard to see where he's going to fit in if they – keep everybody else that's, you know, already on this roster still around come, you know, week one.
Of course, we are talking to Ben Standing. Staying offense for a moment. You know,
sure.
Learning that Brandon Coleman will be, you know, side by side with Laremy Tunsil, knowing that Sam Cosmi is coming off an injury, I'm just curious, like, when they open up against the Giants on September 7th or whatever day that is, who's the starting right guard if Cosmi's not ready to go? Is that where Allegretti plays? Does Wiley play there? What does the offensive line left to right look like opening day, best guess right now?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, I would say, like, if you're talking about playing Coleman on the left side, a guard, right?
Right.
Sure, there's a world where Allegretti is just better than him in camp and all that, but you're setting it up to say Coleman's going to be the left guard, that it's sort of his job to lose. He's the upside play, all that stuff. So then, based on that, you would think, okay, Allegretti would be the most likely guy to move to the right side. He's obviously, he had a decent year last year. He's got that Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl pedigree that he came over with. So he can play in multiple spots and give you, viable work wherever. I think with the Wiley front, the fact that they've quickly moved Coleman to guard, like, we're not having the conversation about, is he going to be guard? Is he going to compete at right tackle?
Right.
Okay, so now we can just focus on Josh Connerly and Wiley. And I would think that you keep Wiley at tackle for now because, again, we can pencil in Josh Connerly to be the starting right tackle, but we'll see. He's 21, pretty young. He's, coming into the league as a rookie. And the whole point of everything they're doing is to give Jaden Daniels the best opportunity to succeed, not necessarily to have the best offensive line you can in 2026, right? So I think for this year, I'm not saying Connerly won't start, but I think you keep Wiley there in case he needs to be the guy to go in. And also, look, just for pure tackle depth, right? I mean, if Coleman's a guard, not that he couldn't play tackle, but, Wiley is essentially the third tackle at this point. We'll see about Trent Scott and whoever else they might have. I think you keep Wiley at tackle. Allegretti would be the obvious fit. Now, they also have, they signed Nate Herbig, who's been a guy who started in this league on the interior spots, so he could be in the mix for sure. I don't want to rule him out. But I would guess Allegretti at right guard would be my guess as of now. Until Sam Cosmi comes back.
Yeah, it's important for people to understand Josh Connerly Jr., no matter what, how much the part he looks, he's a rookie. It is possible that, they play him, but they play him with Andrew Wiley to start in the first few games of the year until they're comfortable. Let's flip it around to the defensive side of the ball. Did anybody just stand out to you? Like, okay, and I'm talking about the new guys. Well, you can throw in, because they did, Daron Payne. But were there any standouts among Kinlaw, Goldman, like, oh, yeah, no, they got it right there. He looks the part. He's big. He looks different than what they've had, and they're playing him on the outside. It's just anything from the defensive side of the ball with the new guys.
I think the biggest thing is just the how they look. Again, no pads, no tackling. If Eddie Goldman's a run stuffer, right, that's hard to show what he can do when there's none of that kind of happening. And, Javon Kinlaw is a massive guy. But again, until he's out there, it's hard to see exactly how he's going to fare wherever they line him up. But just in terms of size, step one, we need to get longer and we need to get bigger. And they did that with Kinlaw and Goldman and Dietrich Wise on top of, having Payne out there. Johnny Newton is not necessarily the biggest defensive tackle in the league. And, like a Dorrance Armstrong is a solid size guy, but, he's not, he's a defensive end. He's not that huge presence. So I think, at a minimum, they've now done that, gives them the opportunity at least to be a lot better against the run, to be more disruptive. Ultimately, of course, the talent is going to have to play out. And, Kinlaw, a former first round pick, he was a surprise signing for most of us because, at least in terms of the numbers that he got, because we hadn't seen that level of production, but they clearly believe that there's a lot there. And, I spoke to him one day out there and enjoyed the conversation. He seemed to be really engaged and really happy that he's there. Of course, he's from this area. And, the fact that Adam Peters believes in him enough to sign him, says, I think, something and helps his confidence. But, you mentioned Payne. Obviously, they were gushing about his work out there, and some of that is on the days that were not there. There was one where Joe Witt said that he got kind of scolded by Dan Quinn because Payne went out there and was being like overly disruptive in the best ways possible and like messing up the sort of their practice plans. But that's what they want to see ultimately, a guy like that playing at a high level. So I think that's we've talked about that. Daron Payne playing anywhere close to that 2022 level would be massive for this defense. So I think it's just that. It's ultimately, maybe it's the akin of when they get on the bus, they look formidable. That's not, that has to be way more than that come game day. But for now, that's kind of about as much as we can look at. And from that end, I think they did a good job of getting guys, and hopefully, you know, when they start practicing for real with pads and so on, that, you know, it shows as well.
So last one, maybe we can talk a little bit about game five tonight. I know you're going to be into that as well, but give me the one thing out of the last several weeks and just the off season in general, actually, post Philadelphia through now, nothing until training camp. What do you feel the most confident about in terms of new? We're confident in Jaden Daniels. We like the coaching staff. We like Terry McLaurin, et cetera. What are you most confident that they, you know, have accomplished here in the offseason?
Well, again, let's see where Lattimore looks come the training camp in the season. However, if in fact he is, healthy when this all starts, again, he is in June. We'll see about that. But if he's healthy, and then with the addition of Trey Amos, I thought did have a pretty good offseason program. He's got this, we talk about them getting longer and bigger. That's not just on the line. That's also in the secondary, and that's where Trey Amos comes in. Jonathan Jones is, a solid vet who's been on the league, played for Super Bowl camp in New England. And then, of course, you've got Sanders still, whether he's ultimately the starting slot or outside, a guy who showed a lot. It really needs to be emphasized how much better that group is, and at a minimum on paper and at a maximum for real, than a year ago when you had Benjamin St. Juste, Emmanuel Forbes, and Mike Davis as your outside corners, which led to Sanders still having to move outside, which led to the trade for Lattimore. Like, they should be significantly better at corner if everybody is healthy. And, look, we all understand there's questions about the defensive end and the pass rush perhaps. And cornerbacks, rely on the edges, relies on the pass rush to help their cause. But it goes the other way, too. And if they're able to have a steady presence on the perimeter and that allows Joe Witt to send blitzes as he wants, I think that just goes such a long way to help his defense. So, again, the Lattimore injury situation is going to be one I'm going to have to stay vigilant on. We all will. But if that's right, combined with Trey Amos, et cetera, I think that corner room could be a lot, lot better than it was at this point last year.
By the way, this is the time of year, or coming up soon, where you'll write something about a surprise cut. Do you have somebody in mind? Last year, by the way, I think I threw out Benjamin St. Juste as a possibility, but it didn't happen, obviously. But do you have somebody in mind that you'll write about or talk about here soon?
I don't think I do, but not because it's not, somebody will probably be a surprise or multiple somebodies. It's just that, the way they set up the roster with their moves in the offseason, they kind of, added enough pieces to get by, and they only had the 5 draft picks, so it's not like they all of a sudden have, a surplus of guys at any spot. I think there'll be some interesting options on the defensive line because they have more bodies than they do likely roster spots, but I don't know if anybody's going to, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised if Sheldon Day doesn't make the team. So I don't know. At the moment, I don't know if I have a surprise.
Sheldon Day would not count.
Yeah, right. I mean, I said, I think Brian Robinson checked a lot of the boxes. So, he might've been somebody I probably did mention a few weeks ago, but I don't know if we'd go there now. So I honestly don't think I have somebody today on that front, which is obviously, both good and bad. I mean, I think they have done a good enough job of adding pieces to where they had some concerns, but they also have some younger guys or upside players who can hopefully work out for them. So I don't know if I really have anyone right now that would count.
That's all right. Don't force it. Something will come to you in the next few weeks, I'm sure. I mean, we might think Allegretti or Wiley or somebody like that as we approach the season. All right, real quickly, because I got to run, but who do you like tonight?
Oh, man, I feel like the Pacers blew it. This feels like an OKC win, somewhat comfortably, as comfortably as it can be for a series where it's been pretty tight, pretty competitive. But going back home with the momentum after game 4, it just feels like the Thunder win. I'm not saying the series is over at that point, but it does feel like the Pacers probably blew their shot to win this thing when they didn't close that in the fourth quarter. So I'd like to see the Pacers win, but both of these teams have been really good. It's been a fun series to watch for sure.
All right. Talk to you later. Thanks.
Awesome. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Caitlin Clark set another standard. And Dak Prescott talking legacy. We'll finish it up with those two things next. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
All right, the Boston Red Sox have traded away slugging third baseman Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants in exchange for three pitchers, Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, and minor league pitcher Jose Bello. Also included in this deal was outfielder prospect James Tibbs. The Red Sox sent Kyle Harrison down to AAA Wooster. J.J. Spahn wins his first career major with a monster 64-foot putt after a soggy day at Oakmont. That's the longest made putt of the day. Spahn wins the U.S. Open. Shohei Ohtani will make his pitching debut tonight versus the Padres. This is 21 months removed from a second UCL surgery. Ohtani will likely pitch only one or two innings as a continuation of his rehab. Joey Chestnut has announced in a statement on Twitter he is returning to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest nearly 1 year removed from his Netflix head-to-head matchup versus Takeru Kobayashi. Chestnut will look to break his record of 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. The Nats have dropped 8 in a row. Following the sweep by the Miami Marlins, they take on the Rockies tonight. Brady House has been called up and will likely make his debut. The Nats, again, play the Rockies on 106.7 The Fan at 6:45. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports, and that is what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.